Episode 39 of Personalities at Carrie brings us to our conversation with Kyle Brewer. Kyle is concentrating in supply chain and business analytics, and over the summer, he interned at Raytheon. He was an air traffic controller once, and he also worked for Union Pacific. He likes keeping things light in the classroom, and we thank him for that. To get to know him better, let's have a conversation with him in this episode of Personalities at Carrie. Hello everyone, we are at episode 39 with Kyle Brewer. Thanks Kyle for doing this with us.
Yeah, of course, I'm excited.
All right, let's get started with our very first question we always ask. That's tell us about yourself, give us your background, what brings you to WB Carrie, and what have you been doing before then?
Well, first off, I just want to say that I apologize for my voice. I have a face for radio and a voice for silent movies, so hopefully you're not cringing already listening to this. But a little bit about me, I'm a military brat. So I grew up military family. My dad was a JAG officer, which means he was a military attorney. Grew up on the East Coast. So I was born in Washington, D.C., moved around a lot. He ended up retiring in Colorado, where I went to high school, and then undergrad at the University of Colorado in Boulder, where I studied mechanical engineering. After that, I joined the military, the Army, as an air traffic controller. So I'm not the person at the airport that has the orange cones and I'm moving my hands back and forth, dancing in front of the plane.
Sitting in the tower?
Yes. Sitting in the tower, actually making sure that those planes don't touch each other in the air. And so really stressful, but an awesome job. Learned a lot. Got to travel overseas with it, that being in the military, stationed overseas for a bit. And then down in Southeast Alabama. While I was there, I knew I was going to get out of the Army, so I started working on a master's degree in management and leadership from Liberty University, just because I, you know, have a technical background but didn't have so much of a business acumen, that type of thing. So I knew I wanted to make myself marketable for getting out, so ended up finishing that before I got out of the military. And started working for Union Pacific in Omaha, Nebraska, the railroad company. Did operations there, so I made sure that different railroad territories were working correctly, and it was kind of just managing the entire thing. Super cool job, a 24/7 type of job. Worked a lot of holidays, nights, weekends, and paid very well, but just wasn't right for me. So I'd always considered going back to school, wanting to pursue my MBA. So I knew that if this is what it wasn't what I was loving, I need to, you know, try to figure something out. So I started looking, and I looked to apply to all top universities. It was Arizona State, University of Texas, so McCombs, and then Washington Foster in Seattle. And Austin said no, and Foster waitlisted me, and Arizona State said yes right away, and I'm so happy that it all worked out. If I could do it all over again and they all said yes, I would still choose ASU 100%. It's been an incredible experience, and studying supply chain right now and business analytics. This is a top school for both of those concentrations, so I know it's really going to help me out. And kind of the reasons going into why I was going to do that is, one, again, this school is just such a great environment for it, and you can learn a lot. And then two, I didn't know I was going to be doing a second concentration, but I arrived on campus probably 2 days before classes started, and ended up meeting Vince Bassani. Sent out a text to anyone who's not from, you know, Phoenix or that area to come over. He'll kind of show the ropes and everything. Got to meet some great people there before class started, and it was all brand new for me. And every single other person had a second concentration. So I guess that means I need to do it too. Don't regret it at all. I learned a lot, but I have no business analytic background or anything like that. But yeah, these have been tough classes, but great. And looking forward to kind of what the future has in store.
So you kind of caved into the peer pressure of having a second concentration.
Yeah, but in a good way. I mean, in a good way. And, you know, it's everyone is so incredibly intelligent here. Sometimes I kind of look around and wonder how I got in. So maybe I bring something else to the table. But no, I just knew that. And not that having one concentration is bad whatsoever. I'm completely against that kind of notion, or having five is, you know, good or great. But it's really working out for me. It's a lot of, you know, you do a lot of things in both types of classes. So yeah, I've liked it so far. But yeah, I had no idea until I got here.
So apart from academics, what has your experience been so far at school? Maybe just with like the clubs or with the career services, anything that's outside of academia?
Yeah, sure. I think that I've been trying to do as much as I can in terms of hanging out with everyone, getting to know people and getting myself involved. One thing that I regret, but I don't know if I'd change just based on, you know, how I'm dealing with workload and things of that nature, is I'm not, you know, part of a lot of the MBAA type stuff, not an ambassador, not in charge of any of the different programs or things like that. But I do try to attend as much as I can in terms of what's being put on. So, you know, the Tuesdays with MCA, learning about different cultures, that's been awesome. Going to Wine Society clubs this time has been great. Obviously, you know, there's fun for the extracurricular side of things, but and then going to the different sporting events and trying to learn, especially, I mean, we have such a diverse student body here, especially in this MBA program represented. So just trying to pick everyone's brain about different cultures, holidays, what they like to do for fun, and getting myself involved that way. So I think outside of academia, there's so many opportunities to just really grow yourself as a person in this program. And that's what I'm trying to make sure I do, because it's only going to help in the future.
And since you're doing two concentrations, I'm sure you've taken a lot more classes than you
planned. Yeah, that's,
do you have a favorite course somewhere?
Yeah, I think I'm probably a broken record by episode 39. I haven't listened to all of them, so I apologize if this hasn't been said. But decision modeling with Professor Byers was incredibly helpful. So I'm sure y'all have probably heard that multiple times. So I kind of wanted to come up with two others that I really felt were extremely useful. I took the global macroeconomics as part of the specialization in the global econ, where we do the trips. Just got back from Japan a couple weeks ago, looking forward to the Peru trip potentially. But that was just really awesome because my professor was from the Netherlands, so he's a straight shooter. He'll tell you, you know, how he feels about you to your face in a very good way. Nothing, you know, where you go home feeling bad about yourself, you do something wrong or anything, but you know that they're not just giving you a cookie cutter answer because, you know, they're a professor and you're at this university. Really pushed you hard, and I learned a whole lot about just the global economy as a whole that you don't really think about, like why GDP factors into anything or what causes those to change and how different banks can, you know, change inflation rates. And that all blew my mind. And going back on that too, with what else I thought was really helpful was managerial finance. So no finance or econ background really or anything like that. So all those classes were pretty tough when it comes to the whole monetary finance issue, but we're also in business school, which you have to do those types of things. And I thought managerial finance was really great because you're not just doing spreadsheet calculations or trying to look up, you know, what a stock exchange quote or anything like that. You're trying to figure out how managers make decisions based on, you know, that type of financial acumen and how you have opportunity costs, something I never really thought of. And then I just thought, if, you know, up and down where you're sourcing, if you're able to get something for your company in-house or out-of-house, sometimes it actually might be cheaper to go out-of-house. And that kind of blew my mind because I felt you're all, you know, one team, one fight, getting all the things you need right there for quote-unquote free, and that doesn't always work. So, yeah, some really great classes that we've been involved in. Yeah, either way, I can say it.
So I think we were just talking about managerial accounting with Professor Hillgeist.
Yes, that is correct. So that shows what I got. I got a lot out of the class itself, so maybe it's not the title aspect of it. I'll be sure to review the syllabus next time. So yeah, so
that's one of the core classes everybody has to take, mm-hmm. it, so that's good for us.
Yeah, it was great. So I hope we keep it around.
And then where did you do your internship last year or this year summer?
Yeah, so I did my internship at Raytheon Missile Systems in Tucson, Arizona. It was a great internship. I was what was called a MPM, a material program manager. And basically what that meant is that I helped be in charge of a missile itself. So think of, if you guys are thinking of different movies or anything like that, you hear that they say, oh, the Sidewinder missile, I'm about to fire it. So it'd be basically, I would be in charge of that Sidewinder missile's mm-hmm. production from start to finish. So you got to work cross-functionally, which I really, really enjoyed with this whole internship experience. So every day I was talking to engineers, finance people, procurement people, different directors and bosses. And basically you're in charge of making sure that this missile programs running smoothly. So what I did wasn't the Sidewinder. I just felt that's the easiest example. I worked for an advanced missile program, so it hasn't even come out yet, but I'll let you know the name if y'all want. It's called the Deep Strike Missile. So basically what it is a long-range missile, but because it's not out yet, it's still it's getting all its iterations figured out and everything like that. So still working with engineering to make sure their drawings are up to date, or if anything has changed because of a lead time that supply chain has saw, or a material that's no longer available, and we have to kind of keep doing different iterations of the process while all making sure we're under budget and on time. And it's every day is kind of a struggle, but I definitely learned a lot, and I can also understand why I went in there hearing that there is always kind of headbutting between, let's say, engineering and supply chain and finance, because what you find out, they all have different KPIs, key performance indexes, that they're trying to figure out and what they want to do. The engineers want to make the best product they can, which is awesome. Supply chain wants to be able to source all the material that they're trying to do under the constraints they have. And finance obviously wants it to be as cost effective as possible, and those don't always align. But you're kind of doing this dance, but actually just a few weeks into it, my boss started putting me in charge of weekly meetings. So the onus was on me trying to make sure that we got things figured out and delivery dates and deliverables kind of put together in a correct way and up to date. And then I also got some side projects that I had to use a lot of Excel with, and I don't have a lot of Excel background, so it was kind of a trial by fire and texting my awesome classmates who are better at Excel than me for some help, and they're probably rolling their eyes when they get my text for something that they feel is an easy 2-second formula, but that was also 30 minutes of me trying myself. So thank you everyone that I reached out to, you know who you are. But no, it was really great, and I got to learn a ton, and I wouldn't trade that internship experience for anything. So
good. So how did you go about actually securing that internship last year?
Sure. So it started off right away, just jumped straight into the fire. I was still new to just business in general and how an MBA program worked, and that was probably on me to kind of, I probably should have done a little more homework going into the program about what was expected and what I need to kind of have prepared. But so it was, week 2, week 3, when they already told us we're having interviewers on campus, and, and you're trying to decide. I'm still trying to buy pencils for classes, and they're already telling me I need to figure out my next summer job. So that was all, I was still holding on to it. But I did a ton of interviews. I just signed up for probably as many as I could with companies that I wanted to work for. I didn't want to do a throwaway interview where I knew that it would be, because that's just rude for, the companies who are on here who are taking their time if you're not even going to put your effort into it. But with that being said, I was also getting asked some supply chain questions. And as you kind of talked about earlier, we haven't even taken a supply chain class, and we're all just in our core concentrations. And so I had to, luckily did some of those YouTube videos that they suggested beforehand about the supply chain of the water bottle and everything like that. So I kind of knew a little bit of buzzwords and just overarching idea of what I could say. But I, to be honest, I didn't know if that was even correct. And I was kind of flying by the seat of my pants, or however you say it. But did a ton of interviewing, and things worked out with a few companies, got some offers by just really pushing, studying hard for all those interviews. I got the call around October or so, saying that I got the offer from Raytheon. But it was really cool that our career services lets us have a December 15th deadline or so, about that time. And so I asked them if I could wait that long, because there were still a few other companies I was interested in. And then once I had offers or rejections and kind of knew what was in front of me, that's when I was just able to sit down, see what really aligned with what I wanted to do, and make that decision. So I tried to get it all out of the way early, but that also doesn't mean that, I had some friends in this class that didn't get their internship until May, right before. And that's completely fine, too, because I think they had a great experience as well. So
okay. So I'd like to ask you a few questions about yourself, and you don't want to think too much about your answers. So when you get some time outside of studying and, working really hard, what do you do in your leisure time? What are your hobbies?
Sometimes I just like to sit on my couch, veg, and watch, ESPN, Netflix, sports, things of that nature. But I'd be amiss to say that I haven't tried to take advantage of Arizona and it being sunny and gorgeous out. They say over 300 days a year. I'm thinking it's like 350 days a year because I came from Colorado where I thought that's what the term was. We have 300 days of sunshine, but there's also pounds of snow or feet of snow that also come with it sometimes. So, but a lot of hiking, definitely done Camelback a few times, try to travel around, go to outside, outdoors to Scottsdale area. I do like to have maybe one or two beverages, that's it though, because I'm being nice, but just anything I can do to be active and outdoors is what I really want to, what's what I like to do and gives me a recharge.
And do you have a favorite movie that you can tell us about?
Oh man. So whenever I've been asked this, like growing up, it hasn't changed in a bit. So now I kind of feel bad, but I'll just say it because we're doing impulse. So Black Hawk Down has always been my favorite movie that, I think I could quote from start to finish back in the day. But right now at the time of this interview in 2018, I think I might have watched it once this year type of thing. So it's kind of now on the back burner. Still really like it though. But I also really got into the Lego Movie when that came out. I just thought it was hilarious. I'm kind of the type that I like new things. So I do have some favorite movies that I can always fall back on, but I'm more of a what's next. Maybe a little bit of a ADD action in me is kind of making that change. But if I want something funny, I can't go wrong with Lego Movie and everybody's awesome. So
it makes everything me laugh. Is awesome.
Yeah, everything is awesome. Yeah, okay. You're right. Yep.
What about a TV show you'd want to recommend?
TV show to recommend. So again, going back to the ESPN, I really like Around the Horn. It's kind of like a sports show where they kind of just talk. Woody Page is one of the guys on there. He's really, really funny. And he's also a Denver Post writer, which, growing up in Colorado, I saw him a lot. And then in terms of other TV shows, man, it's weird when you're put on the spot. So, but, I think I go along with everyone else with, Game of Thrones is always great. I liked How I Met Your Mother back in the day. I just thought it was funny. Parks and Rec, those kinds of comical sitcoms where, just you have those one or two lovable characters that makes everyone laugh. And then I guess a guilty pleasure to show maybe my lack of maturity at some points. But I think they're now being a little more culturally relevant. But South Park, actually, they kind of put some interjection. It's not like the original seasons where they kind of just do stuff to be funny. Now they're poking fun at, some things going on in the climate today. Whether or not I might agree with something, it's still, I think, good humor. And you have to kind of take that step back to, understand. The problem is right now some people don't understand what satire is and what the real thing world is. And that might be a little scary, but it causes me to chuckle at least in a time or two. So, yeah.
What about if you had to choose an artist or a genre of music? What would you go back?
Oh man, dang, another one. Oh, I really like it all. I know that's the lame answer, especially in an MBA, that is the whole it depends. It really does. It's whatever I think you can have fun in, especially when I love going to concerts, but all different ones. So, I'll go to a country concert, put on some boots and some jeans, dance around like that, but I'll also do some EDM type concerts and just jump around. And I think if I had to choose, like if you can only choose one, that's what you have to do. I'm actually kind of more of a punk rock fan. So again, it might be a little kind of that pop punky thing. My favorite song is by Blink-182, older CD for probably most of these people. And sorry to have a little bit of a curse word. It's called Damn It. So we'll say What Beavers Live In. That's my favorite song ever. But yeah, just kind of like that kind of rock ska type of music where you're having fun and just able to move around, jam out.
Okay. And if you had to choose a person in history that you'd like to have dinner or coffee with, just to get to know them better, who would that person be?
Person in history. Oh man, I know right when we end this, I'm gonna think of 10 other people. But right off the bat, I've always and I think this might be a little weird one. I really like Pablo Picasso and his paintings and everything. Did a lot of projects and things on him when I was growing up. Just, just think his style was great. He was also, kind of politically aware with, his Guernica. And I'm probably saying that wrong, so I apologize to everyone Spanish speaking that I just offended. But I just really loved his art. Cubism was so creative and cool. And I just kind of want to see what he saw on a different side of the world, different time. So I think he checks a lot of blocks of not being, you know, an American from like a president or something like that. Mm-hmm. He was European in a different time period than me. And, you know, he's an artist and I can't even draw a stick figure. So
it's pretty close to the stick figure.
Yeah, exactly.
No. What about pet peeves? Do you have any? Do you want to share something with us?
Pet peeves. I think one thing other that I can really think, and I don't know if it's so superficial or anything, is I really hate hypocrisy. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, I think I'd be a hypocrite to say that, because I'm sure there's some areas where I might be against something and then I look back at myself and seeing I've made those mistakes too. But I think if you're kind of outright with your hypocrisy is something that I'm not a big fan of. And it, you can get called out easier now in today's version, you know, with social media and, you know, everything's always being listened to and monitored and you can go back. But yeah, that's kind of a big pet peeve. And then on another thing too, and maybe on a lighter note, back when I was on the dating scene and everything, table manners. Mm-hmm. So, you know, if you have your elbows on the table when you're eating or you're hunched over and kind of scooping up all your food, just shoveling it in, you know, that's a little bugaboo for me. So Mama Brewer, you know, made sure I at least walked on the left side, you know, whatever the street side was when I was on a date, and elbows off the table. So maybe those two things.
Nice. So what do you want to do after your graduation? So maybe a role or a company that you want to work for or a location right after graduation.
Well, right now, currently, I haven't accepted my full-time offer, so I hope I don't burn any bridge with what I say. But no, I'm just kidding. I think I've always really been interested in procurement. That would be, now looking back on what we were kind of talking about, that was another great class I took, the procurement class, and definitely learned a lot. And that's just kind of the role I'd like to go in. And for a big company, if I was to just choose, just what I think I'd really want to do is work for a beverage company. Maybe more on the adult beverage side, but doing procurement or sourcing for them. And basically how it kind of goes multifold with why I'd want to do that. One, definitely like the product. Two, travel implications and opportunities. Right now, while I'm still young, not a family tying me down type of thing, which isn't a bad thing, but able to just go on trip, business trips, kind of see the world, interact with new people, and, you know, make a difference in that type of area. So I think that's what I'd like to go in, some type of global sourcing or procurement.
That's your last name is Brewer.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So it's in the family. So unless I'm supposed to work for Starbucks or something, so I guess I can do that too. But yeah.
Sure. And what about 10 years from now? Where do you see yourself?
Oh, man. Hopefully still grinding and working hard and making a difference. I think what you're seeing from this interview, and a lot of people can describe me, I think I'm a little more of a laid back type of person in terms of personality. But I do like to also sit down and really actually, you know, put the nose to the grind when I need to. I just like the whole work-life balance and, you know, kind of stepping away from that. So I hope I'm in a role where I'm actually being challenged every day still. Hopefully higher up in a company, you know, let's just, if we're saying it, director level, let's say even say VP if it's 10 years, making sure that I'm a positive influence on the people who are reporting to me and the people that I have on either side of me and up above, you know, to my bosses, whatever, you know, he or she thinks of me. I hope it's some good things. And yeah, just still working hard and living comfortably and traveling when I can.
Okay. And if you had to give some advice to the first years who are going through the times that you've spent last year,
yeah,
what would that be?
One thing, and again, I'm not trying to be self-deprecating. Again, this is my thing, but if I can get through it, I think anyone can, for real. But stick with it. I talking with a lot of the first years, you know, they're all, WP Carey gets the smartest people I've ever, you know, met or experienced, you know, dealt with, and it's great, and that makes me really excited for this program. It's only gonna continue getting better and going up, but it's extremely stressful and it's a stress test. But if you can kind of hold on for the ride and really understand where your priorities are, you'll come out of it a lot stronger. You're gonna have a great internship experience if you make it the experience you should. Think of it as a 3-month job interview and really push yourself. You're not representing just yourself, you're representing the school. And reach out to your fellow students and us second years and any resources you can. ASU has so many resources that I find out about even to this day that I didn't know we had. So there's always someone who can tutor you, always someone who can help with an interview practice, always someone who can, Manish, help you just meditate and really, you know, take a step back. Anyone in career services, I mean, who doesn't love Christine, Jeannie, everyone? I don't want to start naming names and forgetting someone, but just utilize your resources and don't be afraid to ask. I think we're all pretty much open books and we want to see everyone succeed. This isn't like a cutthroat type of university where only, you know, the top 10% of the graduates are going to get the best jobs. Mm-hmm. All of us, you know, all 110 of my classmates, you know, 110 of the first year's classmates can all get amazing positions with amazing companies and do great things. You're not just looking for that one or two. So take the most opportunities you can to just really help each other and then grow and work on the things that you're not so good at. So
and when you graduate, once you're done with the MBA, how would you like your peers to remember you?
I hope they can remember me for just maybe my better jokes, maybe not some bad joke. No, I want them to remember me, I think, as a hard worker, a good teammate, someone who would drop anything that I could to make sure that you could get some help or someone to talk to or just lean on if you needed to. I hope that I went away, you know, being supportive and approachable. And if that's not the case, I hope whoever hears this and thinks differently lets me know. And, you know, I won't take it personally. I'll just try to work on growing in that aspect because, again, no one's perfect. But and I can sure use a lot of help in some aspects, but hopefully positive is what I want to take away from it.
So, yeah, that's kind of toward the end of our, you know, podcast episode. But I just want to give you a couple minutes to tell the people if there's something you're organizing, you want to plug something.
Right now I can't think of anything I'm plugging, but now I'm on the spot, so that means I probably should. But if I haven't harped on it enough already, help anyone you can. I'll just do a plug for what helped so much last year. So Caitlin Stiers, Kerry Houston, Vince Bassani all did an Excel type of tutoring every Friday for a few weeks, and it was beyond helpful. You know, they did it kind of as military term, we call it Barney style. So you get the very base elementary knowledge of everything, but that was beyond helpful. And I know some other people, Amy Perrone and Ryan Kelkar, doing stats help for some of the first years and things of that nature. We have so many great resources in this program for people just helping with what you need and be willing to help. And I know I just said a few names, but there are so many people doing it, so I apologize for only naming a couple. But yeah, just get involved in what you can. And if you're kind of sitting there not knowing what to do, or you have extra free time and you kind of don't know what's going on, you should know what your skills are and what you're good at and send them out to the group and see if people need any help with it, because you never know. And always just be there to help with an interview practice or just to talk and let someone talk about just non-school things. Sometimes that's nice to just take a break. So you and me, once this podcast stops rolling, we can actually just get to know each other as opposed to only talking about academics. And I think that's really helpful. So
right. So if people want to get in touch with you and they want to find you on social media, where should they find you?
On most of the social medias. I don't think I technically do have a Twitter, but I don't think I've done anything on it for like 4 or 5 years. So maybe not that, but on Facebook, on LinkedIn, kyle.brewer@asu.edu is anywhere you can email me, and you can always pick up a phone. I'm in all the WhatsApp groups and things of that nature, and send me a text. I feel like I'm an open book, but I'm also a straight shooter. I'll tell you, you know, what you should hear as opposed to just some cookie cutter answer about something you have a question with. So yeah, feel free to talk to me whatever. I'd be glad to help.
So again, thanks Kyle for doing this episode with us.
Yeah, thank you so much. This was great.
Thanks everyone for listening to us. And please go ahead and promote us. Thanks.
Thanks everyone. Bye.
Thank you for sharing your unique perspectives with us. We all love you and hope that the future brings great things for you. Thank you once again to our listeners who are supporting us. We're on Apple iTunes, Spotify, Google Podcasts, and other podcast platforms. I shall see you in the next one. Goodbye and peace.